On the show today, we have Glatt Consulting's very own Tom Glatt. He is here to tell us the latest credit union health score, Q3 2022, I believe. And he's here to tell us all about asset growth, earnings, delinquencies, some of the credit unions that are the score leaders this time around, and then the future of the health score. He gives us a look at 2023 based on the numbers that we talked about in this episode. So check it out. Hey, we're here. Tom is here once again. He visits us about once every quarter or so to give us the latest credit union health score. And I love this health score that you do because it really kind of gives us a big 64,000 foot view level of what's going on in the industry. And you always give us examples of who's doing what out there and what makes it successful and the trends that are happening. And before we started the live cast here, we were talking about how for years the health score was going up, 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 but then the latest one, we're going this way a little bit, the last three quarters, I think it has, but I'll leave that to you, Tom. You are the expert here, so share with us the latest health score. What's going on out there?
Yeah, so the score itself for the most recent quarter of data, which of course is the third quarter, you know, with a little bit of a lagging look because we get all that data out from the NCUA, in fact, came out last week.
Okay.
With everything, right? We wait till we have all the report data. So the latest score is 6.252, and to remind your viewers, that's on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 would be exceptionally healthy, if you will, and 1 is, you probably already be conserved if you hit a 1. So 6.252 is a good score. Our benchmark is 5, so if the industry is above average or any of our component scores are above average, that means above 5, that means we're above average. So we're doing well in the score. We're above average, but to your point, this is the third straight quarter of score decline. In the first quarter this year, we had a negative 0.92 decline. Then it went to a negative 1.7. And then this most recent quarter was a negative 1.28. Now, you know, the significance of the decline is that, of course, that means slowing health or health declines to a certain extent. Again, we're still above 5, so it's like a healthy person with a small cold or something.
Yeah.
but the significance here, and I remember you and I talking about this, is back in the first quarter of 2020, we had a decline in the score of negative 1.7, so similar to what we had last quarter in scope. And it was the first decline we'd had since going back to 2013.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, first decline since 2013. And I thought, well, this is the beginning of the end of this long run of improvements we have from 13 to 2020. And I think I told you that. But then the very next quarter, we went on another run of greens through COVID because of all the mitigating factors that the government put in place to try to forestall economic disaster. So we went on a string of green, but now it's the third straight quarter decline. It's the first time we've seen successive declines since 2013. So, we're definitely seeing some changes when you get that kind of perpetual decline over quarter over quarter. It means there's some fundamental things happening in the industry affecting the score.
Yeah. And can you share with us? I mean, what are your thoughts in that? What's affecting these scores right now? Again, we're still above average, which is good. Like you said, we're still a healthy person, but we have a cold right now.
That's
so,
right.
So how do we alleviate this cold? What are the factors of this cold, do you think?
Sure. One of the things that's most noteworthy in terms of just scale of score change is asset growth. And it stands to reason we're still sort of working our way out of all of the asset growth that accumulated over the course of the COVID pandemic, stimulus funds and the like, lack of places to spend money. So to give you context here, we had, and now this is not asset growth, the ratio, but it's the year over year change in our asset growth score. Back in 2020, we had score changes of 132% or 141% to the upside. And we're just going the opposite direction. So this most recent quarter, we had a score decline in asset growth of 49.2%. That followed a decline of 46%. So we're still seeing asset growth really drop. And that's one of the heavy factors there. And just to give you context, again, asset growth, like I said, the scores in our component scores and our aggregate health score, if we're above 5, we're sort of above the industry historical average. If we're below 5, we're below that historical average. Q2 this year, we hit a score of 4.14, and that's after a Q1 score of 5.8. So now we've dipped below 5. Our asset growth score for this last quarter, the third quarter, was 3.49. So we're still growing in assets, but that pace of growth and the strength of growth is definitely changing. That's one of the factors that's driving that score decline.
And again, we have a whole number of things here to go through, and earnings is another one. Can you share with us the latest on earnings?
Yeah, it certainly is. And that one, again, this is return on assets. And so it's income relative to assets. And that's what we have to appreciate is the dynamic that exists when you have income going against a moving target like asset growth or our total assets. But we've seen negative 4% in the score change in the second quarter. And this past quarter, it was a decline of 6.25%. So we're seeing earnings come down quite a bit in terms of score. Now, that's one of the factors driving the decline. So I like to go back here and just point to the raw scores again. And I keep looking off camera because I've got my chart up here.
Got your charts, yeah.
That to look at. In the third quarter of 2021 last year, and this is one of the reasons why the score decline is so stark this year in return on assets. We had a score of 5.28, but that is one sort of aberration point going back to 2020. We've been below 5 in our return on assets scores that entire time. And so if you think about why are we declining year over year at health score, one of the factors is credit unions are still struggling to stay sort of at that average benchmark range of a score of 5. So we're seeing negative declines in the score. Right now we're at 4.95. So we've been on an upward trajectory in a sense, but we're still not quite to where we would normally be if we were just operating on an average basis.
Okay. And I'll talk to you a little bit at the end about what you're going to forecast in 2023 based on these numbers. But I want to go through delinquencies and charge-offs, which is a really big big topic right now, because what we didn't see during the pandemic were those delinquencies because of the forbearance and all the funds and stuff like that came in to help people out. But all that is obviously coming to an end. And with inflation and a possible recession, those delinquencies and charge-offs may be, or if not already, are increasing. So what's your take on this area right now?
Yeah, exactly what you said. So looking at the delinquency column here, the last time we saw a year-over-year decline before we hit 22 was in 2020. That going back to 2017, it's been upward trajectory for delinquencies. We've been getting better and better successively.
Yeah.
But now we've seen two straight quarters of decline. And what I look at when I'm looking at the score changes is not only, is it a negative or positive change, but what preceded it. So I can kind of get a sense of whether the momentum is going to change in a positive or negative direction. So what we see right now is again, second quarter was a decline of 2.8%. This third quarter is a decline of 3%, which means that it's getting worse. Charge-offs, we hadn't had a negative change in charge-off score since 2018, the first quarter. Wow. So we've had a series of green on our chart, which means year-over-year improvement. But now we've hit negative for the first time since 2018, and it's been a decline of 1.42. Now, there's something important to point out. Again, looking at the raw scores on the 1 to 10 scale, delinquencies, we've got a score of 7.18, and charge-offs, the score of 7.66. So we're way above that 5 average. So if you look at the industry average for delinquencies and charge-offs, we are well above where we should be. Now, one of the key points here I want to make on this delinquency and charge-off piece, and this is a matter of strategy and preparation, and I'll go reflect on a conversation I had with Steve Rick from CUNA Mutual. I think you know Steve.
Very
good economist, puts things in plain language. And he and I had a brief conversation at a conference about a month and a half ago. And I said, where do you think delinquencies and charge-offs are going to end up? And he said, well, they'll probably moderate to the average. And I agree with that. So if we moderate to the average based on our loan portfolio in the credit union community right now, that means that on average, we're around 18 basis points. Using our score as a proxy, 18 basis points in charge-off rate, going up to about 38 basis points to get to the average, that's about $2.9 billion more charge-offs than we have today. So just to give you some idea of, industry scale. Now, the good news is the industry has already provisioned about $3.2 billion per the NCUA's latest data update. So I think the industry is prepared, but I'm sure there are some credit unions out there who probably not done their due diligence on on this trend and might need to start thinking about
provisioning
some funds. But that's based on another area that's a negative contribution.
Okay. Yeah. And based on what might be happening early next year. Yeah. Get your ducks in a row quickly now. So
yeah. And you have CECL coming up, you know, that's the drop dead date coming up for that. So there's going to be a lot of conversation, I think, about delinquencies and charge-offs in 2023 and their impact on the income statement and balance sheet.
Completely. So let's get to one of my favorite parts of this are the score leaders. I love it when you share these examples of credit unions that are just basically just crushing it out there and with this score. So can you share maybe one or two that are doing really well out there and why?
Yeah, I'll share. I've got a few I'll share and you'll see the reason why. But the top spot was once again claimed by Sycamore. You know, we've mentioned Sycamore to you before.
Yeah,
what's cool about Sycamore, yeah, it's a small credit union. It's $48 million in assets, serves 2,600 members. They got about 11 employees and a branch, but their score is 9.235. Excellent. I mean, that's crazy. And they got 10s across the board in every category except for maybe cash. And at this point, you don't really want cash around because you're not earning any money on that or short-term investments. So they do really well, well-capitalized, lots of growth, and their change in score was almost 5% quarter or year over year. So they've done so much better this year than
good
last. So that's definitely one I'll mention. But we've got some new additions to the top 10 that I'd like to point out or call out or shout out. One is Whatcom Educational in Bellingham, big credit union, totally kind of a converse scenario to Sycamore. These folks are $2.6 billion, 148,000 members, 385 employees. They've got as many branches as Sycamore has employees. They've got 11 branches. And big credit union scoring 8735. So they're, again, new to the top 10 list this quarter. Good job. We've got a couple others. DATQ out of Denton, Texas, another big one, $1.5 billion, almost $1.6 billion. Again, 105,000 members, 197 employees, and they've got a score of 8647. And the one that popped in here, and I love credit unions like this that show up. I love when Sycamore type credit unions show up in the top 10, but I also like ones like this. This is SRI out of Menlo Park, California, $217 million in assets, which is, you know, large by industry standards, but it's a small institution by the scope of the entire financial industry. And they're serving about 6,300 members, 14 employees, 3 branches, and they've got a score of 8,618. And I love that because I think, you know, you can be really, really healthy as a small credit union if you just stay very constrained and do a few things really well, which I think Sycamore is kind of exemplifies that.
Yeah.
At that $200 million in asset size, it's very difficult because you're big enough where people have exceptional demands of what you should be doing for them. Mm-hmm. And you're put in a tough spot to be able to offer great services, complexity of services at costs that are comparable to the marketplace. So an SRI like this is a great example of a credit union operating well. I mean, their efficiency ratio is 71.10, which is about 10 points below the industry average. So they do very well with what they're offering. So anyway, I love stories like that.
I do too. Yeah, to share those examples, that really kind of paints a picture of what they're doing right. And again, it gives an example of what other credit unions can do as well. The potential is definitely there. And I love the Sycamore stories because we're constantly hearing, oh my gosh, the smaller credit unions, they're really struggling. And will they be around in 5 years or 10 years or whatever? But you know what? Sycamore and many, many others are examples that they can survive and they can thrive in an environment like this. So yeah, this type of stuff. So good stuff. All right, let's look to the future, if we will, Tom. So let's get out the murky crystal ball, if you will. And so what do you see happening in 2023 based on these numbers that we just talked about and kind of the future of the health score as well? What do you see out there?
Yeah, for the industry or the score, I really think that this is going to come down to Federal Reserve Board success in taming inflation. Because if they don't tame it, then we're going to continue to see challenges with operating expenses and income, and that will continue to be a problem. Wage inflation and the like will affect or influence, so many of these numbers. Interest rates will be affected, you know, all of that. So if the Fed can tame inflation and we get that, you know, desired soft landing, which I guess there's still a probability of, then I think we might moderate, stabilize, and health will, if we see another decline, it would be a modest decline and we'll probably hit that and then start climbing in terms of score again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I believe that we're going to be that smooth in our landing. So I expect, it just as my, you know, future storytelling capabilities put on display here, but I would look at probably delinquencies and charge-offs continuing to grow. I just think that's going to be a challenge with, that's again, continued. We're still seeing price inflation. It's not like mm-hmm. it's going down. So that mm-hmm. still is a factor. Side note, my daughter's downstairs baking for the holidays and was complaining about the fact that eggs cost $7 a carton. I'm like, it's not too bad, but she's buying it herself and she's getting $7 for eggs.
It might as well be $700, you know?
The other thing, though, I'm looking at our loan growth column, and we've had some really strong scores in loan growth. In fact, going back to the five, we see loan growth popping into the green, you know, five, score 573, last quarter score 652. After we got down, we were down in the ones in terms of loan growth score. So, you know, if we can see that continue to happen, that'd be great. But again, if interest rates stay high, that might temper demand. You get a recession mm-hmm. in there. Mm-hmm. That'll certainly influence the income. So I'm kind of split. I'm hoping for a good outcome in 2023, but I have to feel that we're going to have some rocky quarters in there, just in terms of how the score presents industry.
So that old saying, hope for the best and prepare for the worst type of thing.
I think that's right.
All right. Well, I think that's the message here is like, keep your ducks in a row, get them lined up, just in case of what's going to be happening. But, sounds mm-hmm. like what you said though earlier, that credit unions are well prepared for what's to come as they usually are. So, it's a good group, of folks out there, smart folks out there doing some good stuff, not only for mm-hmm. the industry, but for their communities and members as well. So great stuff here again. Anything else to add here, Tom, to wrap up? I mean, I'm going to start calling you the mailman because you delivered once again. So thank you for that.
So I've teased this before and we've had fits and starts on getting this out there, but I think we're going to finish up health score. We'll call it health score 2.0 for lack of a better word. Here in the first quarter. So I'm really excited about that because I think we're going to expand the scope of the ratios we look at and score and aggregate across things like capital and asset quality, looking at mm-hmm. a lot more data. So it'll just increase the richness of our score metric. So I'm looking forward to that. And I've got a familiar name to me working with me on the project, and his name is Tyler Glatt. He is my son, and he's an econ major at North Carolina State University. He's a senior.
Wolfpack. All right.
Soon to graduate. Yeah, that's right. I guess I don't even know how to do that.
Hey, that's pretty good. I would do this, but I don't think that's it. They would laugh.
No, that's like, that looks like Florida, the Florida Gators.
Oh, that's the Gator. Okay, I didn't know that.
Do they do that? Maybe they do.
I think they do this.
Oh, yeah, it's bigger down there.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's going to be helping using some of the skills that he learned in econometrics and whatnot to go through and to do some of the study with me. So I'm excited about the work to be done just because of who I'm working with, but also that I think it'll make our score model much more resilient and robust.
Mm-hmm. Keeping it in the family. Well done, sir. Good job. And didn't he, like, I think the last time we spoke was after your Mount Kilimanjaro climb. Didn't you guys climb Mount Kilimanjaro together? Or
we did, Yeah, we climbed Kilimanjaro, which was challenging. And I know Ann Legg has climbed Kilimanjaro. And then we had a bunch of credit union people climb. Carolyn Leonard, I think, Willard, was one of the people that was in that group that went over to Africa for a couple of things. One, to climb, but to raise money for a great credit union cause. But I'll tell you what, Mount Kilimanjaro has nothing on Mount Mitchell here in North Carolina. Mount Mitchell is the tallest peak on the East Coast. Yeah. It's brutal to climb that thing. It's a 12-mile round trip on roots and rocks, and it made Mount Kilimanjaro look like a stroll on the beach by comparison.
Really?
He and I did that one, and we both got crushed by it. So sad.
Good to know. I'll have to go try that one out. So, oh, my gosh. Well, then, but you guys live to tell about it. You live to tell the tale. So good stuff. Alrighty, Tom. Well, thank you again, once again, for this information. Such helpful, practical information for folks out there wanting to know, kind of getting a barometer of what's going on in the industry right now. So, and we look forward to having you back in Q1 for a more robust look at your credit union health score, which you do once again, you know, and we'll, you do this every quarter, and we'll put a link in the show notes so everyone can get to it and check out kind of the history, and you can see all those top credit unions that you were talking about, all the graphs that you were referring to as well. You have them all right there, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes so you can get right to it and check it out. So other than that, Tom, thank you so much again. This is great information.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Always good to be with you.